There's a Cinderella story unfolding at the Winter Olympics, and it's the run by the South Korea women's curling team, which is edging closer to a medal as the host country. They've already scored improbable victories over the world's curling powerhouses like Canada and Sweden.
Have to get by the guard. Are they by the guard? They're just by the guard. Very fortunate. And they wind up lying too. Great brushing by Republic of Korea. You can see the response from the spectators.
Play-by-play from NBC. There's a showdown today, by the way, with rival Japan. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Jonathan Chang, who's with us today from the curling venue in the city of Gangneung. Jonathan, what have you found?
I wouldn't say that I loved curling before I came to the Olympics. I tried it once before in high school, but I grew up in Canada, so that's sort of how that happened. And came in here thinking that I'd be writing about other sports like hockey and I don't know, figure skating or other things like that. But then the South Korean woman just started kicking butt at curling. They defeated Canada, which is the dominant country in this sport. They also defeated number two Switzerland. And after those two games, I figured I'd go on to curling and check it out and see what was going on. And once you get there, you started to see over the course of the last week growing crowds and growing celebrity for these four women, because they've been giant killers. They've been defeating everyone.
How about that? That's great. So the explain, I guess, about some of the women, because they all have nicknames, right? The team has a nickname or a couple nicknames.
Yeah, well, the team, they're called the Garlic Girls. That's what the local press here has been calling them, because they're from same tiny little town, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And what they're known for is producing garlic. And there's a big garlic clove statue when you drive into town there. And so they're called the Garlic Girls. They don't particularly like that nickname because it's, well, not all that flattering. Okay. They prefer Team Kim, which is more straightforward. And it makes sense because all five of them are named Kim. They're not all related. Only two of them are related. They're sisters. But Kim is a very common last name here in Korea. So five of them are the Kims. And then they've all given each other English language nicknames because they needed some way to distinguish themselves and introduce themselves to foreigners and Westerners, and they sort of just picked their favorite food items.
yogurt, right? Sunny, who else is on the team?
Sunny for Sunny Side Up. We got pancake, we got steak, and the last one is Cho-Cho, which I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but her name is Cho-Hee, so okay. I think it's just a play on her name.
We're speaking with the Wall Street Journal's Jonathan Chang. He's with us from the Olympics. He's the bureau chief in Seoul. He's written a piece entitled, "I Avoided the Norovirus, but I Caught the Curling Bug." And curling is one of those sports, too. Did I understand correctly? It actually occurs every day in the Olympics?
Yeah, that's right. A lot of the other sports, they kind of have a qualifier one day and then maybe the finals another day or something like that. But curling, because there are 10 teams on the women's side that enter, they all play a round robin with each other. So everyone plays nine games in the round robin, and then you get into the semifinals and the finals. So just the way that it's structured, there's a curling event every single day. And what I love about that in particular is it does allow these narratives to build up over time.
Yeah.
Because with some of these sports, you got a rivalry, but they're only on the ice together, on the slopes together for 30 seconds, blink and you miss it, and that's it. This one's really given the public a lot of time to sort of jump on the bandwagon and to get on board with this team.
What is it about the sport itself that you like?
Well, I compared it to baseball in my column, and I think that, you know, obviously they're very different sports, but what they have in common is that they are both slow games. They don't seem very dramatic, and people who don't like baseball will say that it's boring and it goes on forever. And curling can kind of do that as well, in that it doesn't have a game clock like basketball or hockey or football. So things sort of unspool on their own pace. And but what I love about it is that it is all about strategy. It's all about technique, and it's a game of inches, and it's just kind of fascinating. And once you start watching it, it sort of pulls you in a strange way.
How long can a curling game actually take? What's an average time?
Well, most of the games here have lasted about 3 hours.
Wow.
And that's and that's just for two teams to throw 10 ends. An end is like an inning, so they got 10 innings, and each end you have 8 throws per team. So it's just a lot of sweeping and a lot of, stone throwing.
Thanks, Jonathan. Wall Street Journal reporter Jonathan Chang with us today from the Olympics in South Korea. Hey, thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.